first ever Whatcast. Whatcast with a K. Of course. And on this podcast, we're going to be talking about... every week, we're going to be speaking about things like conspiracy theories, paranormal, aliens, UFOs, you know, anything that's a little bit out there and a little bit, you know, interesting conversations with people, special guests, all that kind of stuff. But this week, to kick things off, I've got a person who's going to be my co-host on this show, and he's an old friend of mine, and his name's Lee. And we call him Conspiracy Lee because he's big into conspiracies. He loves all that. And today he's going to be talking about the coronavirus conspiracy and things, what that could be about. Basically, Lee believes it's not a virus. It's made in a lab, and he's got going to present his evidence to try to prove that. So we're going to be chatting about that today. And hopefully you'll enjoy it. If you've got any feedback for the show, you can get us on the Twitter at Whatcast with a K, or you can get me at Matt Guna on the Twitter, or you can get Lee at Lee and at Jabs underscore Lee. And hope you enjoy the chat with Lee, and I'll see you later.
Here we go. Straight away. I got one of my oldest mates on here. Megs 11. Conspiracy Megs. Lee. How we doing, Lee?
Yeah, good, mate. You?
Yeah, not bad. How's Cyprus with the old coronavirus?
Oh, it's all on lockdown, mate. Everyone's going crazy. It's like...
Well, everyone's in straitjackets in the street, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they're running around in straight jackets, everything. Yeah, they're mad, mate. They're mad.
Straight jackets made of bog roll.
Yeah,
bit of boggage roll.
Yeah. So you go on.
No, go on. You go then.
I was just going to ask you about your coronavirus theories while we're on, and what you think might be behind it. Do you believe what you're hearing on the news? Probably not, because you never do. And
question everything, mate.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you think?
Well, to me, it just seems all a bit suspicious that this virus has just come out of nowhere, where there was no like kind of pre-warning or anything. And to think that it came from, say, an animal, like let's say a capulin or a bat, it's like, to me, that's the shittiest excuse I've ever heard in my life. It's like I think, in my opinion, I think it was made in a lab. Now, if you listen to experts, they'll say it come from an animal and things like that, but really, did it?
So, made in a lab, what, in China?
Yeah.
So, if a couple of Chinese blokes thought, let's bring out this really wank thing that kills 1% of people, that'll turn the world to madness, and they were right. Yeah, we don't need to make it any more than 1% deadly, because everyone will just panic anyway.
Yeah.
Be kind. Be kind, but don't leave anyone any bog roll in the shops.
Yeah. Well, it's like...
Why do you think that the purpose of that, what you believe, when you say that it was made in a lab, for what purpose? What are they trying to achieve by doing that?
Vaccines, I think, because if you look down the last few years, there's been so much push for vaccines, like influenza vaccines. So I think what they're trying to do is scare people that much into having these vaccines. I don't know why. I've got a couple of theories on it, but it's the first one is like they want to control people.
Right. And
I heard a really, really good story online, Matt. It must be true that. No, Matt, if it's on Facebook, then it's true. Yeah.
On YouTube, mate, it's even truer.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. These sources, mate, they, you know what I mean? They're facts. Yeah. No, but I heard a story that basically in Hong Kong, when they was having all these protests, that the Chinese government was trying to make this drug that dumbed people down, basically, that made them docile and compliant. Right. So it kind of went wrong. This is what I was reading. It kind of went wrong, and it made this virus. The coronavirus, COVID-19.
Yeah.
Let's get it technical.
Why are we laughing at a deadly virus? Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's have a good laugh. Have a bit of a chit chat about a deadly virus.
Yeah, what should we name this one? Oh, I've got a name. COVID-19.
Yeah.
Where'd they get the 19 from?
2019. Where do you think they got it from? You're supposed to be the expert on this.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I'm not the actual biologist that we all think I am. So, yeah. No, but yeah.
Your conspiracy days, so that'd do. As far as I'm concerned, Conspiracy Lee knows his shit.
Yes, Conspiracy Lee. Believe me.
Yeah, go on, carry on.
If you don't, then the world's mad.
Exactly.
Yeah. No.
So it's all gone wrong, and they've created a virus instead.
Yeah, so it's all gone wrong. They've created this virus. They tried to hide it. Basically, the Americans found out about it, and they want to buy it. The Chinese said
wanted
no,
to buy the virus.
Yeah.
Why?
Like Amazon.
What?
Yeah, like it was on Amazon. I'll give you €20.
Same day delivery.
Yeah. Oh no, postage was more.
Right. So. Serious. So America wanted to buy the virus from China?
Yes, because they want to buy it to make it better, but China said no because apparently there were some morals involved in this point.
The virus, not the what's it called? Not the vaccine.
No, the virus.
They want to sell the virus.
Yeah.
Why would they want to buy that?
There's no vaccine.
Right, not that we know. I bet there is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so hang on. So China wanted to sell the virus to America, so America could do what with it?
No, America wanted to buy the virus off China.
Yeah.
But China said no because all of a sudden they had some morals and didn't want to do what. Folks, this is what I'm reading on the internet. If I don't believe this, but
this is brilliant.
I'm reading. All right, again, it was on Facebook, so it must be true. All right. So yeah, let me continue.
Yeah.
So China said no because there were some morals involved. So somehow a rogue agent in China got hold of it. It's becoming like Mission Impossible kind of shit. Do you know what I mean?
It's Tom Cruise, the rogue agent.
Yeah. Not Tom Cruise. Won Hughes.
Right.
Right, so
when you're going off with a rogue agent, are you just being a dick, or is this part of the truth? I can't ever tell you whether you're just turning it into a joke, or whether this is what you've actually read. So there's a rogue agent.
I'm trying to cut this bit down because it's like it was a hell of a long story.
Right.
This Wong who's got the virus and took it to America and gave it to them, basically. And this is where the whole blaming thing comes from China to America.
Right.
So
But whether it was blown up in a lab or come from an animal or something like that, I don't honestly know. But what we got to realise it is here, and Wong Yu's probably brought it over.
What was it? So I don't know. Who knows? But like, what's the official story? Bat soup, wasn't it?
Yeah, bat soup or something like that.
They eat all that shit, don't they? But
yeah, they love it.
You can get illnesses and stuff from eating weird, fucked up animals, surely.
Yeah, I could imagine you can. You've got to realise is you've got all those dead animals that are like bloods everywhere in those markets, and the hygiene is probably really rubbish. So yeah, it's going to be some sort of backlash, should I say, regards to, like, I don't know, like hygiene, disease, viruses, whatever's going to come out of it. But I find it hard to believe that this virus come from either a bat or a cat pudding.
What did you say? A bat or a what?
Cat pudding.
What's that?
It's like a miniature anteater. Not the one off the cartoon.
What fucking cartoon is that? Right. So you said so that's one theory. Sorry, is there more to say on this one?
No, basically that's what they're saying it's come from, a cat pudding or a bat. But my theory is, I think it was made in a laboratory.
Right.
Because quite conveniently, just on the outskirts of Wuhan, there's a bio lab that makes chemical weapons.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a bit...
So what would be the reason? Like, so if that was true, this is where my problems always are with this kind of thing. It's like, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that would be the truth. But what would be the point? Like, because they're locking everyone down to try to contain it. What would be the point? They want people to be scared, or they want to control the population, or they want to kill some people off?
I just think as it could be a couple of things, really. So if we go to the control thing, so a lot of people through the past few years have been very anti-vaccine. So if you look at people in America, they're denying that, they're saying no, that their kids are not having the influenza vaccine and things like this, because they don't want their kids to have it. They're saying influenza vaccine increases the rate of pregnancies where the babies basically get damaged and they come out with like special needs or something like this. Do you know what I mean? I've heard reports of that as well. So,
what's the science behind that?
Sorry?
What's the science behind that? Is there any kind of facts to that, or is that just what someone said?
That's what someone said. Basically, that's what someone says. I've tried to find out a little bit more about it, and I watched this convention with all these people who invented the influenza vaccine, and these nurses were in the audience.
Right.
And basically, it's like a Q&A. So this one nurse stands up, and she says, I've been working in healthcare. This is in America, by the way, so you can probably get how a bit far-fetched it can get. she stands up and says, I've been working in healthcare for like 30-40 years since we've been starting injecting people with the influenza vaccine. She's seen no clear results of it doing its job. Only the result that she has seen is the increase of kids with special needs. And that's where I kind of got that bit from. And I tried to look into it a little bit more, but there's no real facts or information about it because it's all speculative. It's like no one really knows.
With that, they were saying stuff like with the MMR jab and whatnot about that called autism and things like that. But I think with that, it's I just think autistic kids from we were kids, nobody just they just didn't get diagnosed with it. It wasn't a thing. I think that the increase, the supposed increase in kids with autism or special needs is because it's actually thought about now and people now pick up on things and there's diagnosis now for this kind of thing. Whereas back 20, 30 years ago, there wasn't. It was just like, oh, that kid's a bit weird. And they just put it down to that. That's, there's nothing there. I think that that's probably a lot to do with the rate of autistic children and whatnot. I don't really think it's down to the MMR. Like, I don't know how that would be the case. And with flu, a flu jab, I mean, I don't know. Well, they only really give it to the elderly, don't they? Like, I don't really... I've never had one. Have you had one?
No, I've never had one, no. I think the last jabs
to be all right.
The last vaccines I had was in school where they gave out TB vaccine and things like that. But no, never had a flu vaccine.
My parents both always have one. I think my son has one. I'm not sure. They do some at school, but they've never even offered me one. I got a thing from today telling me I can't even go for an appointment. It's all got to be on the phone now because of the corona bat virus.
Yeah. But I think it's all to do with, obviously, the influenza vaccines to do with, obviously, that the reason why they give it to older people is because they're more susceptible to from getting a lot of damage from flu because, obviously, flu attacks the respiratory system and things like that. So with kids, like with this new virus, I hate like that because it's like somebody's just said, oh yeah, there you go, it's a new virus. Do you know what I mean?
But put it under the tree for Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. But kids are like kind of immune to it. Most kids are like immune to it, if I can put it that way, because what they're saying is kids are the carriers. They don't necessarily get the symptoms, but they carry the virus. And what spreads the virus is they go home to their parents and their parents get the virus. But in regards to that, you're not actually diagnosed properly because there's a 4-day incubation period with this coronavirus. And until you're diagnosed, you're infected. Regardless whether you felt crap 4 days before, and you also went to the hospital, it's that at that point they say no, you're infected, and that's how they count you as a statistic. And I'll give you an example. A very close friend of mine, she's been feeling ill for the last couple of days, so she's called the NHS hotline 111. Guys, give it a call. and they told her to isolate herself for 7 days. Now, she could have coronavirus, but they won't actually count it as a statistic until after 7 days, if she's still got these symptoms, she goes to hospital or someone comes to her house. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, but I was hearing that on the radio earlier on, and they were saying that it's exactly the same thing as what you've just said. That you can't, like people are supposed to take time off. Like say for instance, if somebody's like, they're telling you to self-isolate, if somebody's self-isolates because they've got the symptoms of this and then they never had it. No one tests anybody. So they'd self-isolate for 7 days, then go out, then get it because they didn't have it before. Yeah. But they think, what are you going to do? Like you're going to say to work, actually, I need to self-isolate again now. And every other week, I'm just going to self-isolate because people ain't going to be that understanding, are they? It's like they're not testing. I mean, who knows what the figures are? It's going to be obviously much, much, much higher than what we're hearing.
Yeah.
So because nobody's getting tested, so the people that are getting tested, they know that this is what I think a little bit is like they're so everyone knows how many people have died. That's not up for debate as far, well, maybe it is, but I don't think it is.
No.
But no, so nobody's disputing how many people have died, but everybody's disputing how many are ill. So everybody knows it's way more than what we're being told. So in which case, if that's the same all over the world, this the mortality rate of this is probably nothing. Do you know what I mean? Like, because they're getting these percentages based on confirmed cases versus deaths.
Yes.
If the confirmed cases are 50 times what we actually think they are, then the death rate goes down significantly, doesn't it, as in a percentage?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
So, and then, but then people are posting this stuff saying, oh, people are thinking it's the same as a flu. Look at these statistics. Well, you can do all that after, but no one knows how many people had the flu either.
No.
Like, I don't know if I've ever had the flu. Like, yeah. That old, was it the flu? Don't know. I took some Lemsip and carried on.
Well, the thing is, if someone gets a really bad cold these days, it's like, oh, I've got the flu. Do you know what I mean? So it's like,
do they
differentiate the flu from a cold by going to a doctor and the doctor actually says, no, you've got the flu?
I can tell by the look at you, that's the flu. We're not going to test. I've never been tested for anything.
Yeah. So
if I went to the doctors and I said I've got a bit of an headache, bit of a cold, you know, bit of a runny nose temperature and all that, they'd say to me, and get out.
Yeah. Like, go on.
Wasting my time.
Yeah. And the number one bit of advice that a doctor always says to you, drink plenty of fluids.
Plenty of fluids.
Yeah, plenty of fluids. It's like the fluids is the cure. But I understand I totally get it. But you're totally right in what you're saying is the mortality rate, obviously the death percentage decreases because they don't actually know how many corona cases are now in the UK. And this is the thing with Boris Johnson. He's saying that there's four steps to this whole coronavirus procedure to lock down the country. Mm. But I think he's playing a bit of a dangerous game because, as I said with the kids, they don't actually get the symptoms per se, but they've got the ability to transport the virus to other people. Mm. And at first they said that the virus wasn't airborne, but now they're saying it can be airborne up to 3 hours. Now, listen, Matt, right, you're going to laugh at this. You're going to absolutely crease up at this. And this is what I said to my wife, right? So if you've got 100 people with the symptoms of coronavirus, coughing and spraying at the same time in one area, then that coronavirus takes it from 3 hours airborne to, say for argument's sake, 300 hours airborne.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you've got all those people in that one place who are coughing. So technically, it's airborne, and it's airborne for longer than what they're saying.
They're saying it is airborne. It's airborne as in direct someone coughing into your face, or as in cough over there, and then someone else will walk into it in 5 minutes and be infected.
Yeah. At first, they said, again, me being the sado that I am, looking up when you cough, how far it goes.
Done that stat. Yeah. Like a YouTube video of cough being projected from someone's mouth.
The
someone standing with a ruler.
stand there, mate. That's where it's going to land.
Yeah.
apparently, when you cough, your saliva in your cough can go anything up to 3 meters. So that's what I said. I know. It's amazing, right? It's amazing.
I'm amazed.
What you actually read up on.
It's amazing what you look up when you've
yeah.
work shut down because of the coronavirus, isn't it? Yeah. You're sitting around looking at YouTube and you're thinking, I'm bored. I've got 24 hours to kill. I know.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my little search engine out. How far does a cough go? You did.
Oh, mate. I'm going to get ridiculed on this podcast. I know.
This is what you're here for. You're not here to be ridiculed, but you're here to, like, you've got some good ideas. I'm going to see how many miles a cough can go. All right. So what I was going to ask was, so considering, so you say this is a conspiracy theory. This is a conspiracy, not a conspiracy. I can't even say it. Conspiracy theory. But so it's to control. So it's to make people frightened and to control people. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think it is. It's right, because... Okay, so,
why wouldn't, like, so that would explain why nobody's explaining it the way I just did. When I just said that the infection rate is way higher than is being reported, but we know people have died. Like, why doesn't someone, to settle everybody down a little bit, why doesn't someone come on, someone of recognition that people will listen to?
Yeah, not that
Cox on a podcast and say the death rate is probably 0.0000001.
Yeah.
Because then everyone would stop panicking, wouldn't they?
Yeah, because everyone would go, oh fuck this, I'm going fucking super, buy more bog roll.
Yeah. If someone gets told the death rate, we've got this virus out, we're going to tell you about a few people that get infected. We'll tell you that there's been 100 deaths or whatever it is. How many is in there?
Just over 6,000 deaths. That was counted here, yesterday. Just here.
In the country.
All over the world. 6,
in the UK, how many?
I'm not 100% sure on the death rate in the UK.
Don't come on the fucking show then if you don't know your shit. Supposed to do this research. Right, so I don't know how many it is, right? But by the time this anyone gets to listen to this, it will be loads more anyway. So it's probably irrelevant. But so I completely lost my train of thought now. Where was I even going with this?
If they come out
and said, right, so X amount of people have died, but all of these people have got it, the actual number. So therefore, the death rate is, the mortality rate is 0.0000001. Everyone would just be like, I don't need any bog roll then, wouldn't they?
What are they going to do with the bog roll?
I don't know.
It's like eBay's going to be fucking for the bog roll.
It will be. But by the time anyone gets around, because people are so panicky that they're not going to dare sell their bog roll yet. I'll sell my bog roll once it's all over. Got news for you, mate. When it's all over, no one's going to be buying bog roll on eBay. Everyone's just going to go to Tesco's. So you're going to be stuck forever until you use it with a trillion bog. How much bog roll you got?
I think I've got about 6. it's in the toilet cupboard. I don't really count it.
Well, you should. You should be prepping. Have you ever prepped? I just want to ask you, because this is like a bit of this is the closest of all these preppers have ever got to like being right, basically. They spend their whole life, 40 years prepping for the eventual end of days. This is the closest anyone's ever come to it since probably World War II. Yeah. So have you ever prepped?
No.
You haven't? Not even, did you ever thought about it?
I have, do you know what? When I've been watching these programs on doomsday preppers and things like that, I thought to myself, well, maybe I should. But then I think to myself, I can't really see anything that's going to come along and just wipe out the world. I think it's like a lot of it's just kind of like based on people watching too much fucking sci-fi.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's where did doomsday prepping come from? It's like, if you take the program Walking Dead, the only time I've ever heard of doomsday prepping is when The Walking Dead come out.
Yeah.
And then all these programs started coming on Discovery, Doomsday Preppers, that they're, they're spending thousands of dollars on these underground bunkers where they've got like storerooms the size of fucking Tesco Extra. And it's like, I don't know, it's kind of like, I think people, from what I'm getting, people are overreacting in regards to when they're buying all this stuff from the supermarket. Like, I looked online today and people are putting pictures of my local Tesco's in England. Literally nothing on the shelves. Nothing.
No.
And this is...
I was there. I went to one today.
Yeah.
It's not, whole aisle, no toilet paper. Whole aisle, no sanitizers, no pills. Nothing. Tin food was like decimated. There was some Branston beans on the aisle. That was about it. So I picked up a few tins of them. Can never have enough beans. And stick them in the bunker, ready for
water. Never know when you want to be
So earlier, so I don't know whether you were just talking crap, but earlier on you said that there was a couple of theories. So was it just one theory that's got a lot of things springing from it, or was there another theory you had?
I think it's one theory that's got a lot of things springing from it. In regards to like the fear factor and the control thing, I think it plays a massive part in like the government. So using this to play a massive part in to getting people to buy more and things like that. So you've got an element of people, they need people to spend more money. So by scaring people, they're gonna spend 2 to 3 times more on a 1 weekly shop than they usually do. So with the supermarket chains and other companies, third party companies to do with those supermarkets are getting more money. But also there's this theory as well with Boris Johnson, the way he's being very relaxed about it and things, and his statement come out with his statement saying you will lose loved ones. It's like, what a great confidence builder. It's like him saying, we've got these 4 steps to locking down the UK, but before that, your mum, dad, granddad, grandma, or whatever's going to die.
We never said that, did he? He never said everyone but you is going to die, but we've got these steps. He said... people will lose loved ones, which is true. And, I mean, I don't know. You say he's being very relaxed about it. I don't know. To me, it looks like he's just got out of bed, but he looks like that all the time.
Yeah, he didn't have his morning coffee that day.
Nah.
but as well, it's like this theory behind, obviously, him being relaxed about it is that I actually heard it off someone else. It isn't my theory. Basically,
take credit for other people's theories. You cheat.
I would say their name, but we're not saying names. So this person said to me, he goes, so when he announced that he's not going to lock down the country, he's still going to go as per usual, people going to work, schools not closing and things like that. It goes back to the bit where the kids carry it, they add it, they give it to their parents, the parents give it to their grandparents or whatever. So the theory behind it is him killing off pensioners to save billions of pounds of pension. Yeah. So say for example, you have a 1,000 deaths in the UK are more than likely going to be people 70 and above, right? Mm-hmm. So all them are claiming a pension. So if they, 1,000 of them die, say times 40,000-50,000 that they've put into a pension over years, that's the government are going to save billions of pounds. So that's another theory behind it.
Well, yeah, but also you got to remember that if Labour was in, I'd probably agree with you, but because it's Conservative. Like a big chunk of their voter is old people, so I don't know why they want to kill them off.
Very true. Yeah, I can see what you mean.
Like, we never get in again.
Yeah. Well, maybe he only wanted to get in one term just to get us out of Europe. Maybe that was that's his agenda, and he wanted to be this all singing, all dancing hero that comes along and does what a previous prime minister couldn't do, which he did do, didn't he? He went to Europe. He basically got us out, regardless of what people's their feelings about that is. But he done the job that nobody else could do. But now this coronavirus, they're saying about like the cooling off period of Brexit is end of 2020, January 30th, 2020. They're saying that it could be delayed, and now he's got fellow politicians calling him a coward because
he's saying that? Who said it? What, Brexit will now be delayed?
Not Brexit per se, but the cooling off period will be extended.
So the deadline to do any deals.
Yeah, because we still haven't made a trade deal with the EU yet. No. So that, because he can't fly to Brussels or anything else like that, the actual deal is going to be postponed. Right. So there's all sorts of things coming, obviously suffering because of this coronavirus. But I don't know. There's a lot of theories to it. There's a hell of a lot of theories. But yeah. I don't know.
What do I think? Did you say?
Yeah.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
Sorry, I just moved away from the mic and I thought maybe I've gone too far back. I don't know. I don't ever commit to anything. It's like, for me, I can see a point of view with most things, but I wouldn't presume to know that I know anything. Like, it's interesting to hear what people think, and you can kind of play off one theory against another and then kind of look into the ins and outs of it and whether it makes any sense or whatever. That's what I like doing. But for me... It wouldn't be beyond the realms of possibility that somebody would create a virus to get people under control and to kind of reset the world, if you like. I don't know. But I don't know what would be the point. I don't know what's... Unless there would be like a big agenda to deplete the population in some way, but then surely they would have created a better virus than this one.
Yeah. Well, there's another theory, Matt. Another theory.
I just said to you a little while ago, did you only have one theory or did you have more? And since you said I've only got one, you've given me another 55.
Well, I'm thinking, as we're speaking, I'm thinking, and I'm like today, it just reminded me of it. It's like when I went to the local shop, obviously handing over money. Money's one of the biggest germs. It above anything else, because that's the thing that mostly changes hands is money. Yeah. And the woman behind the counter was wearing gloves, and I can totally understand why she was wearing gloves. But when we was handing over money, it just brought this to my mind about finite currency. Maybe one of the agendas is to deplete finite currency, as in notes and coins, and to get everyone electronic. Because if you get everyone electronic, everyone's more controllable. Yeah. So say for example, they bring a new passport out, where on this passport was absolutely everything to do with your life, your finances, all your personal details, any credit that you've got, absolutely everything. So on this one card, you can do transactions, you can travel, you can do things, you can basically do everything that this card allows you to do. So maybe one of the control factors is to deplete finite currency, get rid of it, and to get everyone on this electronic card, because people are refusing this idea of being chipped. Do you see what I mean?
I do. So, it makes sense. What you're saying, but the problem I've got with it again is, so you're saying that you believe this, we don't believe, but a theory is that this could be to make people want to stop using money because it spreads viruses and whatnot, yeah? Right. The only thing with that is nobody's said that, have they? So like, nah. I would come to my mind if every world leader was on TV going, we've got to stop spending money, use your cards, make sure we don't spread it that way. But I've not heard one person say that. They're not even planting the seed in anybody's head to kind of say this is what we're kind of trying to do. So,
maybe they know that people know that money is the germ carrier, and
yeah, but they're not. But the people don't know that. Everybody knows that, but no one thinks about it, do they? Like, people don't think about all the shit you do all day long that you don't wash your hands. Like, you could go. They were saying, it doesn't make a lot of sense if anybody's saying that, because like these days everything's touch screen, everything, isn't it? Like, I was reading something even maybe a year ago that McDonald's, you go in and touch the screen and someone swabbed a load of them screens, and there was like fucking shit, like human shit all over it, and every single one of them. Yeah. And we're touching them to order, and then we're just dipping straight into our fryers.
Yeah.
That's why we need bog roller to wipe all the fryers down before we eat them.
No, it's like the same. Let me go back to this, like the chip and everything. So basically, like these world leaders been talking about like a chip to control people, where they can shut you down, they can know where, when, and what you're doing at all times. So with this, and again, when it goes to this card, like getting rid of finite characters and going to this electronic card, is to say, for example, that happens and I commit a crime, they can basically shut down everything about my life, stop me traveling, stop me spending, and track me wherever I go.
Yeah.
Per se, I keep the card on me. But it can be another scare tactic in the government saying to you, well, money spreads germs, so we're going to do this. And you're going to think, yeah, well, money does spread germs. But what the governments are doing in the world, they're breeding more and more each year fear into people about things. You know what I mean? Like if we take, like, I don't know, like paedophiles and germs and vaccines and things like that, it's more and more, and war. It's the media's agenda is to breed as much fear into you as they can so you stay compliant. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do. I mean, I've read about all that kind of stuff, and there's definitely some truth to it, but I don't know. I don't think everyone in the media is even aware if that's what they're being programmed to do. I don't even think, I think it's got so far into it that they're not even aware that they're doing it anymore. They'll just like, you watch the news and you put Sky News and you get an opinion. You don't get the news. You get somebody with an agenda. They'll either be left leaning or right leaning business, and they will demonize everybody that they don't like in politics and big up everybody that they do like.
Yeah.
And they won't just tell you what's going on. Like, everybody is shit and everybody's good. Like, if someone does something shit, report it. If the same person then does something good the next day, tell everybody they did. Yeah. All this partisan, you know, you just read Twitter, it's like a cesspit of people against each other. And it is by design, I think. Like, because people could stop it. You know, if people stopped reporting things that way, it would calm down. But everybody's winding people up about everything all the time. So, I agree.
Yeah, it's kind of like, that's what I feel has been going down through the years, is the media breathing fear into people. And I was only saying to Emma yesterday that imagine if we didn't have any social media and we basically, all we had was still newspapers and a couple of
channels.
Would people be so fearful today with that? Them sources as they are now with Facebook.
No. But I'll tell you what, people would be much more blind to what's going on, because there's no alternative point of view, but ignorance is bliss. Everybody would be much happier.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, because like people always say, it's like, oh, if you go back through the years, like the 1980s was like the 80s, the night, like the early 90s, it was a much happier time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a much happier time because no one knew fuck all.
No, that's right. Exactly. No one knew anything. And there's probably more going on there, Jimmy Savile and all that bollocks, than anyone. You wouldn't have thought twice about that shit. I wrote into Jim Will Fix It. And that prick was feeling me up.
Did he fix you?
Well, I never get to meet him. I did drive past him. We did drive past him in Scotland once. I must have told you about that. He was going through Glencoe with his pink tracksuit on. And I went past and I was like, that's Jimmy Savile. And I was like, shall I give him a lift? No, he looks like a bit of a pedo. I'll let him walk. And I was right. It was about 107 then. But he seemed to be for a stroll. And but he lived up there. His house got all vandalized and stuff when he actually died. Because me and Chris went up to climb Ben Nevis just after he died. Savile, and we went past his house. I said, there's Savile's house on the way up there. It was a fucking 10-hour journey. Yeah. And then while we was up there, we heard on the radio, Jimmy Savile's house has been vandalised last night. And I was like, if anyone's tracking us, like my phone signal has gone from Essex, England, all the way to Scotland by Savile's house.
Yeah. Day,
and we're coming home the next day. Like, I've clearly vandalised Savile's house, according to them.
See, that's fear, man.
I don't want to be tracked any more than that. Right, anyway, I'll have to wrap this up because I've done 45 minutes, so I don't want to overrun my time slots. So thanks, Lee, for coming on with all your Conspiracy Lee great stuff. And I'll chat to you soon, Lee, yeah?
Yeah, no worries, mate. Cheers, buddy.
See you later, mate.
See you later, mate.
So, Conspiracy Lee there with his views on the coronavirus and his beliefs as to what's really going on. He's saying that he thinks it could be made in a lab in China and distributed around the world for the population control and the control to scare people into doing as they're told, essentially. Who's to say he's wrong? Who knows? What are your thoughts on it? Let me know. You can give any feedback to my Twitter account, which is MattChat, or at MattChat, as you're dealing with Twitter. And just let me know whether you agree with Lee, whether you disagree with Lee, whether you think he's talking a lot of crap, whether you think he's a genius. And let me know. And next time, we'll be talking about the Mandela effect. So that should be good. And hopefully we'll see you then. Thanks for listening.